Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you. And we also want to invite all of those of you that are online. Good to have you online. And just to know that you're out there, those that are online, if you would tell us how you're feeling about the fact that summer's almost over, you can use an emoji like the, you know, thumbs down, thumbs up. Just let us know that you're out there. We're so happy to have you with us this morning. Well, we've been in a series called Can We Fix It? And you might say, well, can we fix what? Can we fix the church? You see, we have been talking about the first century church, and then we're talking about the church of today. And guess what? 2,000 years ago, the church had problems in the first century. And today, in 2022, the church is still having problems. And just before we start talking about the church, let me just say that I love the church. With all of its problems, with all of its blemishes, with all of the stuff, I love the church. The church has blessed my life. But there's some things we got to take care of, and this is what we're going to talk about today. So I love the fact that Sarah came up here and we prayed for teachers and we prayed for parents and for the children. That's an awesome thing. And it makes me think about what every parent, or especially every, not just a parent, but all of those of us who have younger people in our life and they're going to go to school, what's all on our mind as we send them off. Like my wife and I, Karen, we have two grandchildren that are going into high school this year, if you can believe that. And they're going to Ventura High School. And so what are we concerned about? We don't want them to get in with the wrong crowd, right? Isn't that kind of all in our minds? Like, yeah, get A's, you know, do good, you know, do good in sports. Please don't get in with the wrong crowd. That's just one of those things that... And so the Apostle Paul plants this church, and he's kind of like a dad to this church. This church is over in Corinth. Basically... the church is having some problems. So he plants it over in Greece in this very interesting city. Corinth at that particular time was a beach city like San Diego. It was a fun city. Everybody wanted to go to Corinth and party and hang out and have vacation. It had a little bit of Las Vegas in it. There's a real dark side to Corinth, you know. And so he plants this church there, and on his second missionary trip, he spends about 18 months there, and everything is just going great. And then he takes off, as Paul will often do. He goes on to his next journey and plants more churches. And while he's away, in about AD 55, he gets the bad news. Guess what? You know that church that you planted over in Corinth? Yeah, what's going on over there? Yeah, they're not doing so well. Well, what's going on with that church? Well, here's what's happening. There's a woman named Chloe, and she's got a house church, because that's what they did back then. They had a lot of house churches. And they're fighting. They're having church fights in her house. And, well, it's like, well, what are they fighting about? Well, if you were with us last week, and if you didn't hear that message, you can go back and see it again. They're fighting about who's like kind of like the greatest. They're comparing you guys. What? Yeah. Some people say they follow Paul. Some people say that they follow Apollos. Some people are saying that they follow Peter. And there's like division. And so if you're with us, just the short version is Paul is going, no, not on my watch. We follow one person, and that's Jesus. And by the way, you were not baptized in my name, and I didn't die for you. So he tries to set the church straight. But now he goes on to the next problem. that's taking place in this church, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and that is the problem of immature, carnal Christians, people that are living like way below their potential as Christ followers. Because last time he saw it, they were doing great. They were being discipled, and they were making progress, and now something has happened. So if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians, if you would, 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be in three different chapters, just selected verses from three different chapters, and we're going to be using the NLT translation. So go to chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first three verses there. And he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to the world, as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you're still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world?" Ouch. If you were a part of that church, that had to be a hard letter to hear, like, ooh, wow, you know. So, but Paul's really, really trying to help them from the goodness of his heart. He's probably devastated when he hears this news. So what he says right here really strikes at the heart of the problem, and that is that they're living below their spiritual potential. They're living fleshy lives. So we're going to talk a lot about this. You're going to hear the word flesh, the spirit. Flesh, the spirit. And there's some real contrast there. That the fleshy part of us, you say, well, what is the fleshy part of us? Okay, before I met Christ, I didn't have the Spirit of God in my life. And so I lived according to my flesh. What was the flesh? That was Steve Bombacci getting up every morning and say, how can I please Steve? Let me count the ways. And I just lived my life out on my own terms. But when I became a Christ follower, suddenly it wasn't about Steve Bombacci anymore. Now it's about how can I please God? But I haven't completely nailed it, and neither have you. Nobody has, but we're moving towards that, so we're not people living in the flesh anymore. So the major problem with these particular Christians in this church is that they were going back to their old ways. You say, what ways? The ways of the world, the way that they used to live. So Paul understands the problem, and so he wrote to another church over in Rome, out of the book of Romans, and they were sort of struggling with the same thing because, of course, the Corinthians are being influenced by the Greek culture. The Romans are being influenced by the Roman culture, and Rome was a pretty crazy place. So he says to them in chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." You see, the problem with the Corinthian church is really the same problem that you and I face today. Like, how do we stay spiritually vibrant and alive in a culture that's really working against us? And how can we be the influencers instead of being the influenced from the culture and from the world at large? And so today, we're going to address this by basically asking this question. Here's the question. How do we stay engaged with the world? Because that's important. Remember, Jesus said, he didn't say withdraw from the world. He didn't say hide in a cave. He didn't say go to a bubble, hide in a church. He didn't say any of that. Jesus said, go out unto the world and preach and teach and baptize them and disciple them. So we're supposed to be out there mixing it up with people. But how do we stay engaged with the world but not become like the world? Sometimes that's hard. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to seek godly wisdom. You know, there's so many different ways that you can be an expert in this world. But that's not wisdom. That's knowledge. And there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the application of knowledge in the right way. I mean, let's face it, we live in the information highway, right? You can learn just at the fingertips right there. You know, Google it, or there's information all over the internet, anywhere that you want it. We have never, in our lifetime, nobody's ever had the kind of information that we have today. And so here's the good news. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to have godly wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:20, it says this. So where does this leave the philosophers and the scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? And he's speaking to people that are wowed by this kind of stuff. He says, God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Let me ask you a question, and it's an important question. When you've got to solve a problem, and we all have problems, right? I mean, everyday life is just full of problems. But when you've got to solve a problem, whether it's a relational problem, a financial problem, a parenting problem, a big decision, big life change kind of a problem, what informs your decision? What's your go-to? How do you make a decision about that? Now, if you're a Christ follower, I hope that your number one is the Bible. I hope that you have enough Bible in you that you can say, well, okay, that's the first place I'm going to go. That'll guide me. And then I hope that you pray about it because they work hand in hand. You say, God, I've got a big decision to make, and maybe you're a parent and it's about, you know, your kid, or maybe you're in a relationship that's really struggling and you're just trying to get some guidance about that. And you say, God, and God will speak to you. And then maybe you go to somebody who's, you really trust him, and you go, this person is really wise and they're godly. And I have people like that in my life, and I'll go to them and I say, hey, man, I just need some help right now. Or do you do this? Do you just kind of wing it? Just, you know, some homespun wisdom, right? Well, you know, a little bit from pop, a little bit from grandma, a little bit from the internet, you know, a little bit from some guru that you heard from, a little bit from here and there. I mean, how do you just put it all together and like, well, I think that I can do it, you know, based on that. How about this one? You ever like you're like having a problem and somebody goes, well, you know what they say. And have you thought about who they is? Because that happens all the time. You know what they say. Well, wait a second. Who is they? Well, the internet. Of course, we know that everything on the internet is true, right? Or this book that I, just because it's in print. Oh, I don't know, something about something being in print. Well, it must be true. It was in print. Or you know, I was watching Fox News the other day, or in CNN, or I heard it, you know, from this guru on a TED Talk. Right? Okay. How's that working for you? See, godly wisdom is different. That's the point that I'm trying to make. It's different. When you step into the world of godly wisdom, a lot of times I'm just going to tell you, and I'm just being as real as I can be with you, it's going to feel counterintuitive. It's going to be maybe awkward. Because the things, the methods of God and the ways of God, a lot of times it's all about faith. And faith requires something of us. Faith means that, you know, you read it and you're like, really, God? Like, to solve this problem, you want me to do that? And it just feels like, so again, counterintuitive. But the moment that you do, this is when you experience the wisdom of God. Because suddenly, as you step into the realm of, to the realm of faith, it happens. And you're like, oh my, it worked. That, right there, that's godly wisdom. Let me read chapter 1, verses 26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things of the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think that they are wise. And he chose those things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Wow. Basically, any of us can have wisdom. And the things we esteem certain people and with degrees and everything is God. No, you don't need all that. Paul says, because you have been united with Christ. And guess what? Christ will give you godly wisdom to be able to deal with all the stuff that's coming down from the world today. So we got to seek godly wisdom. Second thing we need to do is we need to seek the mind of Christ. Let's go on. Chapter 2, verse 6 now. And it says, when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom. But not the kind of wisdom that belongs to the world or to the rulers of the world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. This is really interesting right here. He says, if they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. Now, when he says that, he's basically saying, you know, when they crucified Jesus, they actually thought they were doing the smart thing. When they looked at Jesus, they said, you don't look like a Messiah to us. You don't look like a Savior to us. Get off that cross. if you're anything. And of course, they're thinking about, they were looking for some kind of Messiah that was going to be this great, powerful military ruler. And they didn't see that the suffering Christ had actually came for them. They didn't understand that. And that's what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, the thing that God has prepared for those who love him can only be discerned spiritually. Yeah, if from a world mindset, you'll never get it. You'll look at it like the people that crucified him and go, it just doesn't fit. But it was to us that God revealed these things by the Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. We have received God's Spirit. Just for a moment, just say that right now. Say, I have received God's Spirit. Go ahead. I have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds like foolishness to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can know enough to teach him? And then I love this part, but we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. He's given us spiritual discernment. So for us to have the mind of Christ, we need to open our spirit up. We need to say, okay, God, lay it on me. I'm opening my heart and I'm opening my spirit right now. And the only way to get really that mind of Christ is to listen, to like lean in and listen. So I'm going to go to Matthew really quick if you want to follow me, but let me tell you what's going on here. So Jesus was really big on telling parables. Parables were just stories, and he would just tell these stories, but most of the time he wouldn't give the interpretation of the story. And so it's kind of an interesting thing that would happen. People would go, that's kind of a cool story. And then they'd walk away. But there was always a group of people that wouldn't walk away. They would stay there and they'd say, wait a second, I think there's more to this story. And it would tell you something, they would tell them something about themselves. So this is what he said. He had just told a parable, one of his stories. And he replied, he's talking to the people that hung around. So you can imagine Jesus talking, hundreds of people, and then he tells the story and a bunch of people go, oh, cool, they walk away, but there's a crowd there. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they really don't listen or understand. The word listen, as Jesus talked about, it was an active kind of listening. And the fact that word, the original language, if you go back to it, it's an active listening. And so it's not like I heard a waterfall and it was the most beautiful sound. That's passive listening. Jesus said it over and over again. He says, he who has ears to hear, listen. If you ever have read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you got those red things, Jesus talking, right? And he says, he just keeps saying it. If you have ears, listen. If you have ears, listen. And so what does that mean? Well, let me give you an example. If my wife, Karen, says to me, Steve, can you take the trash out? And I'm like, yeah, babe, got it. And she comes back an hour later and the trash isn't out. She's going to say, hey, did you hear me? I'll go, yeah, I heard you. And if you know my wife, she's like, apparently you didn't. Because the trash has not been taken out. All right? This is so active listening. This is what Jesus is talking about. So basically he says, when I tell you what I have for the kingdom of God, what I have for you, when I talk about my commandments, when I talk about all these things, and you lean in and you listen, and then you do them, you've heard me. And when you hear me, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you more revelation. And you're going to be able to grow and mature and grow deeper. That's having the mind of Christ. That gives us the ability to not be so influenced by the world that, you know, every little thing that comes down from the world, we're like, oh, you know, I guess that's cool. And then we got to feed our spirit. We got to feed our spirit and not our flesh. By the way, let's go back to that word flesh again. And we're going to talk a little bit about that probably next week as well. If you go to, you don't have to go there, but if you go to Galatians chapter 5, there's a list of descriptions of the flesh. And let me just tell you, it ain't good. It's really bad. Like, it's like fits of rage, anger, jealousy, drunkenness, hatred, discord. I mean, it's this whole list of like, this is the acts of the flesh. And so Paul is saying, look, at whatever you feed is going to get stronger, right? Can we all agree on that? So if you feed your spirit, it's going to get strong. And if you feed your flesh, unfortunately, that's going to get strong. That's not going to work for you. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's read there. I don't think I was going to read there at the beginning, and somehow I passed it up. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would as spiritual people. I had to talk as you belong to the world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. For you still can. Oh, yeah, I did read this. But it's worth reading it again. Because look what he's saying. He's saying, he basically is saying, you're immature. Like, you're a baby. And I'm trying to you know, I'm trying to give you something that's going to be good for you, but you can't even receive it. It's like, so how do you fix a problem? A lot of times we use tools to fix problems. This is a measuring tape right here. So, like, how do you measure your spirituality? Well, how much of the flesh is dominating your life? Just a little bit? A lot? Whole bunch? And how much of the spirit is in your life? You know, if you're a baby Christian, how far are you away from the little high chair there? See, one of my jobs, my primary job as a pastor, is not just to feed the congregation, and it's my joy to do that. I love teaching. I love preaching. I really do. I want to bless as much as I can. But it's actually to teach you how to feed yourself. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not doing my job right. I'm not doing what I'm called to do. And so we have to learn to feed our spirit. How do we feed our spirit? And that's really the big question. How do we do it? And there's a lot of different ways that we can do that. One time Jesus was really being tested. You know the story, he's out in the desert 40 days, he's fasting. And the devil comes to him, and the devil does what the devil does. He lies. The devil twists and lies. He's a deceiver. We know that. And he comes to Jesus, and he tries to tempt him. And Jesus says to him, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what's really cool about this is that he is not just making this up at the moment because he's Jesus. He's actually quoting out of the Old Testament, out of Deuteronomy. You see, Jesus is human just like you and I, 100% human, 100% God, but 100% human. So he had to get the Bible inside of him too. Like, he had to feed his spirit. So what is he doing, man? He's reading the Old Testament. He's getting the scripture so that when the world and the lies came at him, he was ready to take it on. The world is full of lies. It's just, there's just lies out there everywhere you go. And so I need to get truth in me, and you need to get truth inside of you. I saw a t-shirt the other day I thought it was pretty cool, and it said, truth is not hate speech. I mean, today, come on, can we say it? Your words are violence to me. Really? Can't you speak the truth? When culture has got so crazy that it says it doesn't know what a woman is, can we all agree that's kind of nuts? Let me give you a cue here, or a clue. You were all born by a woman. Does that help? Okay, but we got a culture that's like, well, wow, we're not really sure about that. That's why it's so important that we get the truth in us, that we feed our spirit, and we don't buy into the lies of the world. And there's never been a more confusing time. Again, folks, we just come out of a 2-year pandemic, and it was nuts, and there was all kinds of lies flying all over the place, you know. And we had to figure some of that stuff out. But you know what's going to anchor your soul? The truth. Jesus said, you know the truth. Truth will set you free. I need to know the truth, and you need to know the truth. And that means that you need to get the word inside of you. One of the ways that we do that here, and a lot of places, how many of you have the YouVersion app? If you don't have that app, I strongly advise you to get it. So every morning, this is kind of what I do, and a lot of people do this too. On that app, there's a verse of the morning, and there's all these different people, and they're really beautiful, bright, intelligent people, and they'll just like for 2 or 3 minutes talk about that verse or two, and it'll just immediately just open your heart first thing in the morning. There's Bible stuff on there. There's Bible programs, and I'm in one of those. If you go to this church, Pacific Life Church, there's a bunch of us that are on there, and so I spend a few minutes on there, and there's some great, it's like a devotional. They talk, and it just challenges your heart, and sometimes we make comments about it. We read more scripture. I challenge you to do that. There's so many things that you can do. Here's another thing you can do to feed your spirit. Like this last Wednesday, we had a worship night, and it was so awesome. It was so great. Came here, and our worship team sang a whole bunch of songs. And I just, you know, I don't always get to do this. To be honest with you, a lot of times when they're doing worship up here, I'm back there, and I'm like, okay, I'm just getting ready. And so I'm not easily able to worship as much as I want to, because I'm getting ready for this. But when I just said, I'm just going to come and just hang out and just suck it in, just worship, and it just fed my soul. Now, I could have stayed home and watched Netflix, but which one's going to feed my soul? And sometimes we have to make those decisions every day. How do I feed my spirit? How do I feed my soul? And then talk to God. See, a lot of times when we talk to God, we do all the talking, and we don't really give him a chance to get a word in edgewise. But you know, did you know God wants to talk to you? He really does. But the hardest thing of all is just to still your spirit for a moment and say, God, this is your time. I'm opening my heart, opening my mind. Will you speak to me right now? Get into a life group. Oh, man, life groups are so amazing. Pastor Tony leads our life group in that ministry. Go to our website, check that out. We're going to be starting those real quick here. And every time there's never been a moment when I left the life group when I wasn't like, it fed my spirit. It just, I walk out the door, I'm all pumped up spiritually. Get into a life group. I just encourage you to do that. And then a lot of times we don't talk about this, but I think it's so important. How do I feed my spirit? Have a Sabbath. Now, my Sabbath is Friday. Sabbath is that one day out of the week where you say, okay, I'm not working today. I'm not going to plug in today. I'm just going to do life-giving things. My wife and I, because it's Friday, my wife and I get together, and we like to do stand-up paddling. We go out to the bay, and we just cruise around the bay, and sometimes we'll go for a walk on the beach. But just things that will feed our spirit, beautiful things. That's how you feed your spirit. So, if you feed your flesh, what's going to happen? You're going to empower your flesh, right? And you're going to feel pretty unspiritual. And the worst part of all is you're going to stay carnal and immature. But if you feed your spirit, you're going to start to grow and grow, and your spirit's going to grow, your soul's going to grow. God's going to do some amazing things in your life. So how do you do it? As I close, how do we do that? How do we stay engaged with the world but not become like the world? Seek godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. Seek the mind of Christ. You start to think like Christ, you get a different perspective. You see the world differently. And finally, feed your spirit, not your flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a really complicated world that's moving at breakneck speed. And we're trying to follow you. We're trying to be disciples. We're trying to stay true to who you are and to your word and to your ways. And you know, it just seems that every year that goes by, it becomes a little more difficult. And we think about our students that are going to schools, and some of those schools are indoctrinating them some pretty crazy stuff. We think about the people that we care about so much and all the lies that are flying around in the world today and in our culture today. And yet you've called us to stay in it, not to run from it, to be involved, and to speak the truth, always in love, but to speak the truth. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that. Help Pacific Life Church to be that kind of a church where we always commit ourselves to speaking the truth in love and with compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.